If you were to travel around and visit several churches, you'd find many where the focus is on attracting people. Some churches focus on making people feel good without addressing core biblical truths. But the gospel isn't about comfort, it's about transformation. In 1 Timothy 1, Paul addresses this issue, emphasizing the importance of sound doctrine and genuine discipleship. Stephen called this lesson, Attracting a Crowd or Building a Church?
The church scene today reminds me of a buffet where you just go and pick out, you know, just about anything that seems appealing to you, whether it's a little liturgy, a little preaching, music you like, programs, belief systems. The average church today is serving up just about anything they can think of to try and attract more people to attend. A man in our church sent me an article where a pastor from a mainline Protestant church was asked by a reporter, "What would you say to somebody who's thinking about attending your church?" And the pastor responded, "Well, they would be welcome regardless of who they are and regardless of what they believe. We don't try to convert anybody." The reporter asked him, "Well, what exactly is your church known for?" And the pastor said, "Well, we're known for having a positive message so that we can feel better when we leave than when we came in." What was he actually admitting? No matter what you believe, no matter how you behave, our church wants you to feel good about yourself when you leave. The man in our church who sent me this article made a funny remark as he wrote in the margin, "Pastor, sometimes I don't feel better after your sermons. Can you work on that?" Well, the truth is, you can believe just about anything you want to believe and feel pretty good about yourself, have your own opinions in your lifestyle until you open up the Bible, the Word of God. The Word of God has a way of confronting our thinking, which is constantly being influenced by our world. The gospel isn't interested in making you comfortable in the world or with the world. The gospel is interested in saving you from the world. Now, that doesn't mean new methods or, you know, new ideas are automatically bad. The Bible doesn't mention potluck dinners or grand pianos, but our church enjoys both of them. But there's this pressure on pastors today and congregations to change with culture. In other words, to compromise biblical truths. Today, more than ever, we need some biblical wisdom on what really matters for the church. Now, as we set sail today into 1 Timothy, we discover the wisdom we need. 1 Timothy, together with 2 Timothy and Titus, are called the pastoral epistles. The word epistle is the Greek word for letter, so these three pastoral epistles are three pastoral letters. They're written to pastors involved in leading and organizing local churches. But these are more than letters to pastors way back here in the first century. They present inspired instruction. They're going to remind the church to this day how it ought to behave, what it must believe to be a true church today. And let me tell you, beloved, it's going to remind us that there's a vast difference between building a crowd and building a church. See, there's an immense difference between attracting people and making disciples. Well, now here in the first verse of 1 Timothy, Paul identifies himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus by command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. According to verse 3 here, Paul is writing from Macedonia. Timothy is currently pastoring the church in the city of Ephesus. He's been sent there as Paul's representative and to give leadership to that church. And his mission from Paul is spelled out. Here's how he's to pastor there in the town of Ephesus, verses 3 and 4. "Remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations." Now, evidently, serious doctrinal error has slithered into this local church, and Pastor Timothy needs to sound the alarm and get rid of it. Here in verse 4, Paul calls this erroneous doctrine myths and endless genealogies. Now, myths refer to Jewish legends that were added to the Bible. Endless genealogies refers to the Jewish custom of creating fanciful stories and legends associated with the names in Old Testament genealogies. It was all interesting, but it wasn't helpful. It was man-made. In fact, it created all kinds of speculations, sort of like the Bible code people do today. They come up with all kinds of fanciful, interesting interpretations. In fact, it might attract a crowd and it might sell some books, but it's not going to build disciples. Now, Paul adds here that it opens the door, verse 7, to people desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. In other words, these rather trendy teachers without any doctrinal training or foundation, they were misusing the Mosaic law. And now Paul affirms that the law is good if it is used properly to expose sinful lifestyles that need to change. He speaks here in verse 9 of people he calls the ungodly and sinners. Well, these are the people for whom the law was designed, and he gives us some examples of what they're doing here in verse 10 that breaks the law. The sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, that is, slave traders, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. But Paul is making a very clear connection here between false teaching and sinful living. If it isn't sound teaching, it's not going to lead to sound living. In fact, the Greek word Paul uses here for sound, hygieno, gives us our word hygiene, healthy, whole. You see, people today are more conscious than ever about their diet, their good hygiene, but they're not living healthy lives. That is, if they're not grounded in sound doctrine. Now, with that, Paul gives us a little bit of his own personal testimony. He writes here in verse 13 that he used to be a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent of the gospel, but he experienced God's grace and mercy and forgiveness. Listen to Paul's testimony here in verse 15. He says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost, but I received mercy." That can be your testimony today as well. Doesn't matter how bad a sinner you were, if you'll admit your sin and trust in Christ, become like Paul. Well, you can become, as he says here in verse 16, an example to those who will believe in Christ for eternal life. Now, with God's saving work in mind, Paul stops for a moment and just praises the Lord here in verse 17. "To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, in verse 18, he gets back to the business of instructing Pastor Timothy to stay faithful to sound doctrine. He makes this interesting comment that Timothy's ministry was in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you. Apparently, there had been some prophetic word from the Lord regarding Timothy's future ministry. And Paul is reminding Timothy that he's been called by God. And perhaps, we don't know what was going on, but maybe he needed that reminder because he's enduring a ministry that involved very hard work. And if you're in the ministry today, you've learned by now, as my missionary father used to tell me, ministry is 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. Timothy's ministry will include what Paul calls here in verse 18, spiritual warfare. That is, he's going to confront false teaching. He'll even have to discipline from the church people who've gone astray and they refuse to repent. Paul writes here that certain people, verse 19, have made shipwreck of their faith. He says, "Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Now, Paul used similar language back in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5 in reference to church discipline of a man who refused to repent of his immorality. His removal from the church is described as him being handed over to Satan. What that means is this person, an unrepentant sinner who's disciplined is given over to the consequences of their sin. And let me tell you, beloved, Satan is more than happy to see unrepentant sinners suffer the consequences of their sin. Well, you get the idea from this opening chapter that doctrinally strong pastors and churches are more needed than ever. The local church must teach the truth, no matter how difficult or how odd it might sound to your culture today. We must guard the truth. We must apply God's truth to life. You see, truth is not an option. It's essential for the church. And if we don't stand for the truth of God's word, frankly, beloved, we have absolutely nothing to offer our hopeless world. Well, we'll stop here for now. Until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is the Wisdom Journey. You saw today that the church must be built on sound doctrine and genuine discipleship. Your mission and the mission of your church is to make disciples who are rooted in the gospel. Let's focus on teaching and living out God's word. As we continue this wisdom journey through God's word, Stephen will have 5 more lessons from 1 Timothy, and then he'll continue on through the New Testament. Would it help you to be able to take wisdom on the go? Download the Wisdom International app. Take Stephen's Bible teaching wherever you go on our user-friendly smartphone app. You can stay up to date with the Wisdom Journey and Wisdom for the Heart. Explore Stephen's vast library of sermons. Listen or read at your convenience. Plus, you can access daily devotionals, Stephen's blog, our Bible reading plan, and so much more. 2 app features stand out. First, the Bible tab gives you instant access to the full text of Scripture. You can even listen to it being read aloud. It's perfect for commutes or multitasking. Second, while reading the Bible, you'll find direct links to Stephen's relevant lessons. So if you're reading Genesis 1:1, you can instantly access his teaching from that verse. Find the Wisdom International app in the iTunes or the Google Play stores by searching Wisdom International. Install it today. Then join us next time to continue traveling along this wisdom journey.